Hey, welcome to the List Film Podcast. Wow, how many episodes have we done? A lot of them.
Too many.
Yeah.
Too many.
More than you can count on both hands.
Yeah, exactly. So today we have our very first official guests, right? For the new listeners, basically we're a weekly podcast where we pick a topic and then we list and discuss our top five favorite films belonging to that topic. This week's topic is favorite comedians turned actors, right? Is that safe to say?
Yeah.
Like stand-up or...
Yeah, stand-up or sketch.
Improviser.
Yeah, so favorite comedians turned actors.
How about funny motherfuckers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Funny guys turned serious guys. And, you know, since that's our topic, usually it's four hosts. It's myself, Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
Adam Scott.
And I'm Kevin.
And today we have our first official guest, who is, well, why don't you introduce yourself, Eric?
Hello, I'm Eric Edwards. I'm a Virgo. I enjoy being very naked on occasion. No, I'm a stand-up comic actor. I've been in such amazing movies as Blade.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills, Problem Child 2.
Sergeant Bilko?
Sergeant Bilko, that's right. Senior Trip with two-time Academy Award nominee Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
And why I was overlooked, I do not know.
You were just recently on Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec, Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
American Dad, if you don't forget not to listen for a second, you can hear me on that.
Yeah.
I got the fartest out on the YouTube and the Funny or Die you kids like to go to and listen.
It's your take on the artist.
You're
much fun, probably much funnier and much shorter and much...
insanely shorter homage, and just wanted to show how anybody could have made that exact same movie. Mm. And that's why I farted on it.
Yeah.
Although the first 30 minutes of that film, I think, is a genius. But any one of us could have made that movie in a very simple way.
Yeah.
Back to you.
So Eric Edwards, our first official guest. We've had Brian Peril come in, but he was kind of a guest host. He doesn't count as guest.
Yeah, he was a substitution.
Yeah. So, Eric Edwards, congratulations. You're our first official guest.
Sweet.
Number one.
So you get to pay us each $100.
Oh, wow. that hurts. Normally, just a general fist in the ass is what I normally get paid for a situation like this. Because that would be a lot cheap. It hurt me less than giving $400.
Yeah. So we usually start off by talking about the movies we've seen. Anything you've seen in theaters? Anybody, guys? Well, you guys saw Kill List.
Yes.
Adam and Kevin went to see Kill List this weekend.
We did. Happened
together?
I told him that it was playing at the Lemley and NoHo, but I kind of figured that I would run into him there.
Yeah, because they only had two showtimes. There was one at 11 a.m. and one at 11:55 p.m. So stay up till midnight.
So you guys... Yeah. Ran into each other.
Yeah, yes. He caught me while I was making mimosas in the parking lot.
Really?
I did not know that's what was going on.
That's awesome. But it's classy.
I thought so.
Is that what you call sex?
No.
Making mimosas.
No.
I was making mimosas. How was it? Dallas?
I thought it was pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. It's crazy. It's
very disturbing.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw me, but as the credits started rolling, I just had my hand over my mouth, just in shock at what I had just witnessed.
I was trying to process what I had just witnessed. It took me a couple hours to realize what I had kind of just seen on the screen.
And it's playing at the Lemley for a while, right?
No.
No, just this weekend?
Yeah.
It's gone?
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
It was at CineFamily for a week, and then the Lemley theaters for the weekend, and...
Great.
Only two shows.
Yeah.
But it's a video on demand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an IFC Midnight. So
You
can probably check it out if you have the IFC channel.
Yeah, I do. And I do have on demand. Eric, and for the new listeners, we usually don't like review movies as much as we kind of say if we like them or not. And then we rate them based on how much you'd pay to see them. So guys, based on a rating system, what would you pay to see this movie?
Full Arclight price.
So $16.
Yep.
Yeah.
$16.
I agree. Would have, if it hadn't been playing at the Lemley, I was considering not just going, because it was playing at CineFamily also, but I was like, maybe I'll just join CineFamily finally. So I considered joining CineFamily inspired by seeing Kill List, and it would have been worth it because it was really good.
Definitely.
Really?
I might need to see his first movie. It's Ben Wheatley.
Mm-kay.
He directed it. His first movie, I think, is Down the Terrace.
Oh, okay. And now, anything else you saw?
I saw Monsieur Lazare, the French, the Canadian nomination for
the Oscar.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How was it?
It was really good.
Really?
I really liked it. And actually, that kind of fits for today because the guy who plays Mr. Lazare is a comedian. He's an Algerian comedian.
Really?
He's amazing. He's really good.
And when you think of comedy, you think of Algiers.
I do.
You really do.
I do. Battle for Algiers mm-hmm. is one yeah. of my favorite slapstick screwball comedies.
I was going to say, yes. It's almost Ishtar-esque.
Yes.
Yeah. you think of Algeria and Burma.
And Laos.
Yeah.
Laos is... East Timor is actually very good about comedy.
Great Laotian
Darfur.
Comedians.
Mm-hmm. Darfur. Yes, Darfur. Because yeah. what's Darfur but for laughing?
And... Eric, did you see anything this weekend?
I saw something. It's an amazing movie, but it wasn't in the theater. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. It's called My Life's in Turnaround. It's Eric Schaefer and his partner before they had the big split. It was 1995, and I had gotten turned on to it by a director named Roger Cumble. Did a little movie called Just Friends. And it just popped on. On demand, and so I had this on VHS that I had given to other people to watch, and it's an amazing a movie about two idiots trying to make a movie, having no clue how to make a movie, and it's really amazing. That was a movie that unleashed. You guys know Eric Schaefer, The Fall, If Lucy Fell.
Yeah,
that was the film that unleashed him, and it's a fucking awesome. I would have paid. I saw it for free every time I've seen it, but I would easily pay 2012 ArcLight price for that movie. 2012.
So $16 bucks.
$16
so
bucks.
Not 1993 prices.
Not 1993 for whatever what came out, but yeah, 2012 ArcLight prices. Very awesome. It's a pretty cool film. Really cool.
Awesome. Awesome.
I'll have to add it to my watch list. And you said it's on Netflix Instant right now?
No, I saw it. I came across it on Flix. It's one of the paid stations, one of the, you know, packages
I got with Charter Cable. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I caught like the last 5 minutes. So I desperately found where to DVR it and woke up this morning. It was DVR'd, watched it. It's fucking awesome. There's actually a subplot in that movie that I would so love to rip off and make its own fucking movie. I think he might have done it in one of his later films, but it's a really cool film. It really is. And I think that was their very first film that they had very little to know. They didn't know much about the business when they made it. It was cool.
Oh, wow.
That's my suggestion.
Awesome. We didn't see anything, Jenny and I, right?
No, I finally watched Frighteners. Oh, thanks right. to Adam. Yeah.
Great film. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it. It was funny. I'm
sorry Ricardo passed out.
I fell asleep.
He's a terrible movie watcher partner.
Missed the director's cut. You missed Peter Jackson's cameo.
All right. Does anybody have a recommendation? Streaming of the week, Netflix. Anything they've seen on Netflix streaming? No? I guess we should have prepared before we started.
We had time.
Yeah, probably.
About a week. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff on there that I just started watching. What did I just start watching?
Lilyhammer?
I saw that. I haven't checked it out yet, but I saw
my wife. Well, my wife highly recommends. She yelled at me when I turned on the TV while she was watching it on her iPhone. She was really. I mean, it was. I guess she had like 4 minutes left to watch or 5 minutes, and you know, I'm so used to her multitasking, so I just turned on, you know, American Dad, and she just started yelling. I mean, she didn't yell at me. She doesn't. But it's funny for the joke if she does yell at me. But she was like, you know, I get back to the bed, and she's like. Moping, I'm like, how's Lee? I don't know. How was it? I didn't get to see the rest. I'm like, why did you tell me to turn it off? And she just, like, wow. She goes, it's really good. So,
Lilyhammer is the new Steve Van Zandt.
Steve Van Zandt?
Netflix original, right?
Yeah.
Their first produced show from them.
I think it actually had gotten made independently.
They bought it
as is because I heard them on the Howard Stern. Ooh. And they had mentioned that. So I think it's their first original programming, but okay. I think originally it was just made for
to sell to somebody.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a show or it's a movie?
Yeah, it's a show.
TV okay. series, right?
Yeah, it's a series. Yeah,
like a 6-8.
I think I saw
that they had
development's gonna be the first show.
Yeah.
Smash is on Netflix. I was like, is really it? Already? Yeah, the first episode of Smash was on Netflix the other day. I didn't watch it because it kind of looks silly. Whatever.
Yeah. Jenny's going to watch it.
I haven't watched it yet, but I will. Yeah. It's my type of show.
It looks like Burlesque, the TV show. And
I hope not. I really hope not. See, don't say stuff like that to me.
See, movies Burlesque upset me because, you know, I like nudity, and they give the illusion that it might be there, and then you see PG-13, like, Liars.
So. But then if they do the nudity, then it's Showgirls.
So. You know, yeah, that wasn't the nudity, and that wasn't even worth worth that. I paid to see that in the fucking movie.
Are there any good movies about strip clubs?
Yes, Dance of the Blue Iguana.
That was good?
I think it was very good. They only had one actual technical flaw. I mean, the girls were, I mean, it's actually a really, really well done movie. The acting in it is phenomenal because I spent the 90s in and out of strip bars. You know, I was a dancer. But no, I mean, going there.
You had to pay the rent.
Had to pay the rent somehow. No, and the only flaw they had is they danced totally nude, and they would serve alcohol. And in California, you're not allowed to dance totally nude and have a cocktail at the same time. So that was that and also. The strippers had shitty cars, and most strippers I know have fucking really nice cars because that's their stupidity. They strip and spend it on stuff like cars as opposed to the education they're supposed to be getting. However, it's amazing. Sandra Oh, the girl from Grey's Anatomy, she has this moment where she has her separate life where she's like she's a poet. And then she's approached by a customer, like someone who knows her from the strip bar. So she automatically goes from her kind of like, her regular mode to then into talking to a client, like flawless, like I fucking know this stripper, I know this girl. And Daryl Hannah was great. It's a pretty cool movie, you know, a lot of A-list and B-list female actresses getting naked, which I really find hot. I really do. I don't know what something about a girl I see on TV getting naked, because they're much better looking than the girls that have to get naked for money. It's a different level of nudity. It really is. So I give I would pay full arc, and I did pay full arc light price for it.
But 90, no, there
was. I think it was 2001. No, it was 99 maybe.
I remember. I remember them having something on it about like on ET about it. Mm-hmm. But, oh, Daryl Hannah, her new stripper movie.
Jennifer Tilly, I believe the one with a really cool voice. Earl Brown, God, he played Franks and Beans and. Mary, something
about
Mary.
About Mary,
He's on, you know, he's been on tons, you know, was in Deadwood. He does a phenomenal performance.
Really? Elijah's, how does he do on the poll? How's his poll work?
Unfucking believable poll work that guy has. And then Elijah's Cote, he's always good in a.
Elias Cotes?
He's always awesome. I've loved him since the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Casey Jones.
Yeah.
Casey Jones. Wow, look at you. You guys know your shit. I just remember the Villain Eyes song at the end. That's all I cared about.
Yeah. So did anybody have a hard time with this list?
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily a hard time. It's just a really long list. Like there's a lot of people to choose from.
Yeah.
And what exactly is the official topic if you were to write it down?
I think I'd go with comedians turned actors.
Okay. So it's not a specific film.
No.
It's a body of work.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was curious, because you said you make a list of the movies. So this is more of just the individual. Okay, because they're slightly different, but okay. Yeah. Okay, cool, because I could adjust the list.
So should we get to it?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, let's all right. So we usually let the guests go last.
I think that's awesome.
That way, that we have some time to adjust the list.
Well, actually, how can you really usually when I'm the first? Mind to me?
I've had in our other podcast, sorry.
Oh, okay. You've been seeing other podcasts?
Yes.
Oh, man, I feel dirty and cheap.
So we'll have Jenny go first, and we'll go counterclockwise.
I'm not sitting here next time. Because I always have to go first. Because I always sit next to the guest.
Well?
I'm just saying. I'm moving.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe you pick
he can hear you. Don't hurt his feelings.
Yeah, I'm right here.
No, it's nothing. Okay. All right. So my number five is Louis C.K.
Nice.
He's not really a film actor. He's been in a couple small things, but I actually haven't seen very much of his stand-up, but the stuff that I have seen, I really like. And then I love his show, Louis. I think it's hilarious. It's very real and awesome.
Did you like his directorial debut of, I think, Pootie Tang?
I love Pootie Tang.
You know?
I saw Pootie Tang in theaters.
Wow.
I was the one guy
you're
in the theater.
You're the one. I was the you're one. You're the one dude. I was going to say. Yeah. He took the bullet. He fell on the sword from Pootie Tang. That was his thing. Louis C.K. Okay.
Yep.
I forgot he directed that. I totally forgot.
I'm pretty sure. I'm 100% sure.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He directed that, and he directed like the Chris Rock show.
Oh yeah, he was also his head writer for a while. He's
I love Louis C.K.
I do too, and I love Louis as well.
Yeah, it's a great show. My problem is, as far as comedians turned actors, because I love the bit on his show where he's talking about how he's not a good actor and he's doing what the Jewish version of The Godfather with Matthew Broderick.
But we can't forget his performance in the Ricky Gervais film that came out recently.
Invention of Lines.
Yeah. He was good. It was a little bit of a character idea too. But his show, I think. But see, here's the thing: is it a film? Oh, hold on, I don't know how to write this, but go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of cheated because he's not really a film.
No, I mean, he's an actor. That's the thing that it's the topic is. Turned actors.
Dude, now this is going to get crazy. Now my list is going to start really adjusting.
Well, that's why you're going last.
Oh,
you have time.
You have time
to readjust.
I totally forgot about this motherfucker. Hold on. Let me write him down.
You picked Louis C.K., your number five. Yep. All right. My number five, I picked... I have a ton of people on the list, but for my number five, I picked Robin Williams.
Damn it. He's my number three.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's talk about him. You know. So this is what happens, Eric. Sometimes we have overlap, and we just end up talking about it. So, Robin Williams, stand-up comedian. Well, he did stand-up, and he did a bunch of comedy.
Yeah, improv. He's stand-up improv. Juilliard trained.
Yeah, he was on Laugh-In, wasn't he?
Well, I'm sure he did. He did also Make Me Laugh. He did Make Me Laugh. He was, Mork and Mindy.
Yeah,
yeah.
Happy Days. I was just having this discussion with my brother-in-law. Who, for some reason, it became very hip in the late 90s to despise Robin Williams. But come on, World According to Garp is fucking amazing.
That is a great
movie. It's fucking amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And Good Will Hunting, that was great. Mm-hmm. You know, and
that alone is why he's on my list.
He won the Oscar. Yeah. Moscow on the Hudson.
Awakenings.
Awakenings was fucking amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was can I curse more? He's a great actor. He's a really good actor. You know.
So I picked him at number five. You have him down the list number three.
Dead Poets is a huge. I love Dead Poets. Yeah. And mainly, I mean, not just because of him, but the heart that he brings to that character. That's the reason why he's on this list. And then how he can go the complete opposite and be really, really fucking creepy in movies like Insomnia and 1 Hour Photo and do a really good creepy person is pretty awesome.
And I tend to like more the when he's a little more quiet. You know, like in 1 Hour Photo, Insomnia, and Good Will Hunting as well. He's a little bit more subdued and a little more.
Well, that scene where they're testing each other and he puts him up against the wall.
That was a
different side of Robin Williams.
Yeah, yeah. I think that movie was really well done.
Mm.
I recently rewatched it, and there's a couple of like hokey parts where I'm like, whoa, like. There's a whole like slow motion scene that's not slow motion, and like I thought this was slow motion, but it's literally the actors going really slow.
Oh, you mean the fight scene?
Yeah,
with the two. Oh god, the great 70s song. I can't remember. It's a great. I think he was pretty still and actually Dead Poets a lot of the time. Too.
That's true.
I mean that's the thing where he got really ripped off. I thought that he should have. I remember that year. I think it was also another comedian was also nominated. I think in that kind of that year for a performance, but I won't mention him so people won't pick it. Continue. No, I love me some Robin Williams.
So that's my number five. Kevin. Okay.
My number five is Patton Oswalt.
Ooh.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah.
You motherfucker.
I'm sorry, Eric.
Was he on your list?
No, I look like him on occasion. So that really bums me out, dude. Nah, he's okay. He's a great stand-up.
He's a great stand-up.
Phenomenal.
And I'm starting to see him more and more as a very talented actor. I mean, he does a great job in What's the movie? Young Adult.
Young Adult.
Young Adult is great.
Didn't he win a couple of awards for that?
I think he has.
Critics' Choice Awards.
So far this year, people have acknowledged his work.
He's an honorable mention for me.
Yeah, he's
and also his work in, if you've seen the movie Big Fan, he's very good in Big Fan as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to see that.
And then, I mean, just voice work. He does, I mean, the stuff that he did in Ratatouille, a talented actor has to be able to work in a Pixar film and get the character across, and I think he does that very well.
No, totally. And I hear he does a lot of those rewrites for the Pixar movies. I heard him on,
really?
A different podcast, and he talked about how that's how he got hooked up with Pixar, was because he'd come in and punch up, like, the jokes. He was their, like, punch-up guy. And then, I guess... Who, like, Ratatouille director? Who was it?
Brad Bird.
Brad Bird, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Why?
I guess he was like, hey, you have a really interesting voice. Why don't you come and do this mouse thing?
See, I'd heard the story that Spielberg had heard his Black Angus bit. A bit about going, go to Black Angus. And that was, he said, we got to use this guy. And, I mean, that's one of the stories I had heard.
Yeah.
How he got Ratatouille.
No, well, that's the story he told. I don't know.
Well, then I guess my friend lied to me. You heard him. Not the first time a friend lied to me. Yeah. Like saying this was the only podcast he did.
Yeah. I didn't say this is the only podcast.
Yeah, sure you didn't. Sure you did.
Went right after this. Mm. So, yeah, that's a good choice. Number five.
Mm-hmm. All right. My number five is a comedian who got me in trouble as a child, Eddie Murphy.
Honorable mention.
Dude,
yes.
Honorable mention, definitely.
He's like my number four, Eddie Murphy.
So I was a little kid, I wanted to be Eddie Murphy.
A lot of people did. I think he's great. And also, look, Nutty Professor, Bowfingerfinger.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Bowfingers. I mean, he should have got nominated for that. And also for Nutty Professor. I mean, those were distinct characters with a lot of humanity. 48 Hours, Trading Places.
Yeah, was 48 Hours, that, as soon as he arrived with 48 Hours, like, oh, okay. Now we've got something. Mm-hmm. We've got a strong black comedian / actor who we can get behind. He can be funny. He can be serious. He can do action.
Mm-hmm.
He's the man. He's been on a little bit of a backsliding a little bit, but it's just, I saw Imagine That was on at a restaurant I was in the other day, and I was watching, like, this is funny. It's just not for me. Like, it's not that he's making bad movies. He's just making kids movies because he thinks he's lost his edge. I still think he's good.
Well, that's where the money's at.
Yeah.
That's honestly where the money is. And Tower Heist, I thought it was awesome in Tower Heist.
He was really funny. That was
a very good old school Eddie Murphy.
It reminded me a lot of some of his, of like Mr. Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. And in the stuff that he, you know, even Life, if you ever saw the movie Life, a very underrated movie, but it's really, the acting is outstanding.
Oh, what, him and Martin Lawrence.
Together, plus also, God bless it, rest his soul, Bernie Mac, all that entire cast. He's one of the reasons why I decided, like Robin Williams, were one of the reasons what made me want to become either, you know, a stand-up or also as concert movies.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Raw, Delirious. We were calling that stuff for years.
Yeah.
You know, people still are, you know? Yeah, no, definitely.
Eric, did you start off as a stand-up or did you start off as an actor? You did, right?
I started off doing...
I've known you for... like 7 years, maybe? Mm-hmm. And I've never known what you started off as.
Yeah, I mean, I started off Valentine's Day, 1989 was the first time I ever got on stage as a stand-up comic at Arizona, University of Arizona. And then, you know, I slowly kept on going back and bombing, whatever. And then, you know, moved out to L.A. I got discovered. I mean, I think I did a couple cable access shows out here. You know, but you don't count that shit. But I got discovered at Kinko's and got my first movie that way. Some lady ran into me and thought I was interesting and brought me in for an audition. The rest is, as they say, well, a trivia question. But Eddie Murphy, I mean, really, he's pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah, he's done so much great stuff already. I think he was robbed for Dreamgirls. He should have won that Oscar.
And we forget about Dreamgirls and his work on SNL.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
SNL. That was huge. He saved SNL. Now it's...
I don't even remember who the cast was right before.
I didn't know if you were that... Were you... I don't even know if you got to watch that on TV.
Well, not when it aired originally, but I remember Eddie Murphy on...
Gumby.
I was in high school when he was... When he was the star of that show.
Yeah, so my parents. Well, see, this is how he got me in trouble. My parents didn't really keep me from watching anything, mm-hmm. so they took they took us all to see Coming to America at the drive-in with my grandmother, my old grandmother, and I started repeating things that Eddie Murphy was saying on the screen in front of my very religious grandmother. She did not appreciate my liberal use of fuck. Fortunately, she doesn't listen to the podcast, so I don't even think she knows what a podcast is.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, why did he leave SNL? Was it to make movies, or was it was there a riff? Because I know he's not going back.
It was to sing Party All the Time.
Party All the Time.
I think that was a little further down the line.
That would be an amazing story.
He still stayed tied with SNL. I mean, he always said it was like high school, or college. It was 4 years. You know, pretty much at that time you stayed 4 years, and then he was making movies.
But you know what? He's never been back.
Yeah, he has. He's hosted it.
Really?
I think twice he's hosted it, and he's also like done like showed up on the news.
Oh wow!
I'm like.
I think it was after David Spade said something where he got upset with him. He's like, "Look, a falling star," and they showed a picture of Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy,
and I think after that, that's when things got bad.
Coolest thing, Howard Stern did that. They did a whole thing on SNL, all the interviews with like people he'd done from SNL, and Dave Spade tells that story, and then Rob Schneider tells a story of him watching it go down, and Jim Brewer tells a story. It's pretty I mean, they forced him to get it, and this is before cell phones, so he had to actually use the phone, and everyone picked up the line. And we're even going, "Listen, motherfucker, I saved Saturday Night Live. Who the fuck are you, David Spade? I make 20 million. You know, he just started just lambasting, and Spade was like, "Yeah, I know. I was just kidding, Eddie," and going through the whole thing. So it's crazy. Like that. But no, he didn't. I don't think he left under good circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Well, Eddie Murphy, you're number five, and Eric's number four?
Four, I believe.
Okay. So what is your number five, Eric?
Number five, Jim Varney.
Ooh,
no, I'm kidding. No.
You thought you went there. I'm like, whoa, brave. Really
and
brave.
Tom Arnold. That's who my number one. That would have been funnier. Michael Keaton, actually. Michael Keaton is my number five pick.
Nice.
Because, first of all, when he was a great stand-up, actually very underrated stand-up. Did several Merv Griffins, I believe, when I actually saw him. And when he popped, when he came out in Night Shift, which I actually saw in the theater, it was like one of the, I mean, his performance in Night Shift directly affected Tom Hanks. You know, he kind of, I would say Tom Hanks was sort of a copy of Michael Keaton. You look at like Night Shift versus, you know, in Splash, I believe Night Shift came first. Night Shift and Splash was right around the same time. So really identical. Michael Keaton, I mean, in the Mr. Mom, Batman, the first Batman, he was amazing in.
Gung-Ho.
Gung-Ho, holy, yes, even though no one saw it, but except for
me. I saw it on TV.
Well, I saw it once again in the theater. I'm a big Michael Keaton fan. Dream Team. He's just he's a really great actor.
Dream Team.
And then he did this movie called Clean and Sober, which his dramatic chops was pretty inspirational, where he played a guy trying to hide out from the law in a drug rehab center, and he, you know, through the drug, he finds out that he really has a. I mean, it's a pretty flawless performance. It's a shame that no one really gave him a lot of props as a dramatic actor.
Yeah,
but he's great. He's great. I mean, you know, his body of work. I mean, the '80s and the, I guess the late '80s, early '90s, but I guess Dream Team. And then, you know, he's sort of kind of became like a fifth or sixth wheel.
Yeah,
on stuff.
He seems very picky about what he does now.
I
forget about the fact that he came from comedy. My thing with the list was I stuck with people who I've actually seen their comedy. I never saw him do stand up.
See, yeah, well, because I'm old and or older, and I saw him do stand. I saw one of his Merv Griffin performance, and I want to say, was he also a regular on one of Mary Tyler Moore's like later? I think maybe like when she had a sketch show with Dave Letterman was, I think, also on the show, but he had this phenomenal. I just remember as a kid, I loved it. He would do people like from the 20s gangster films, but you know, the juxtaposition is them now and how they would talk. It was really, he's very animated, very theatrical.
And that just reminded me of Johnny Dangerously.
Awesome film. Once again, saw in the movie theater on a date with Stacey Griffin. And didn't get nothing because that was what happened on my dates. But it was still, we laughed. And fucking Joe Piscopo was in that. It was awesome.
You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't kick me. My sister kicked me.
Oh, yeah, I loved that. It was a good movie. It was fucking great. He's a phenomenal comic actor and a great serious actor.
Yeah. And I hear he's doing Beetlejuice too.
You know, there's a Playhouse West girl that was actually hired years ago to write Beetlejuice 2.
Really?
Now, we can't say it anymore. He might show up. But I forgot Beetlejuice. That was a great character and a great movie. He's like one of those people that people hacked for like a long time, mm-hmm. you know, in like the whole talking note to self that came from Night Shift. And you know, feed mayonnaise to tuna. You know, that, and yeah, he really had a huge impact on comic leads. Like he definitely his style was sort of emulated by people. I think that same with like Eddie Murphy. To me, those are the people that I'm kind of picking.
People followed after. I think Eddie Murphy's more. The people who followed him were more obvious when they were aping him than when they were. Or maybe it's just Keaton's work isn't as...
No, I would say because they're black, it stuck out more. I mean, honestly.
Right.
I mean, because there were fewer performances. I mean, at that, especially from the 80s and the 90s, there were fewer black lady men.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like what Robert Townsend makes fun of in Hollywood Shuffle. Oh. We want the Eddie Murphy type.
Holy shit, you totally made me forget about Bobby Townsend. You know? But he's a great filmmaker. Definitely was one of the Mavericks. But yeah. It's an interesting thing that I think why you think Eddie had a bigger impact is because...
There just aren't as many black actors.
No, that's the truth. That's the truth, especially in comedies, you know, where white boys are like, you know, you got people, you know, ripping off Patton Oswalt now. But then you had like, you know, like you had Michael Keaton, Tom Hanks, Griffin Dunn to a degree, mm-hmm. you know, are kind of very similar styles. Jim Belushi, definitely when he's in shape.
Kind of fit taking them. Care of business.
I was going to go principal, and let's not forget El Salvador, which he was very good at. Yeah, so that's Michael Keaton's my number five.
Number five, Jenny. Number four.
All right, my number four is Dan Aykroyd.
Nice.
Not really stand up.
You're
but,
into conspiracy theories.
SNL. Yeah, aliens. That's what it comes down to. I like his conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm. SNL, Second City.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. And Ghostbusters. I mean,
Sergeant
right
Bilko.
There. Yes, that one too.
That's right.
Yeah. He's just, I mean, everything, that pretty much the whole cast of Ghostbusters is fantastic, so let's just throw that out there. But, I mean, that whole group of guys, that time of SNL was fantastic, and whenever I can, I go back and watch that period of characters.
Well, I think Eric Idle said that Dan Aykroyd was the only member of SNL that could make it as a Python.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Wow. That's super. That's a huge compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big
He's an honorable mention.
Yeah.
And it's weird because, like, you know, I got to tell you something. I hope I get as successful as any of those guys so people can tell me how bad I am and how I'm not funny. Well, right now they say that, but I would like to have their money. Because there was a time Dan Aykroyd was insanely, you know, funny. Now, there's been some, you know, real shit he's made, but then, you know, his dramatic swings have been great too, like Driving Miss Daisy, and you know, the stuff where he's playing like a parent. You know, I can't. Some of it slips.
My Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, My Girl. He was awesome. He's got great. He's a really almost all those Second City cats and SNL guys, especially the guys that came from SCTV.
Well, I think that's the trouble with this list. It's like basically we can do
anybody.
80% of the people who are on SCTV and SNL.
Yeah. See, that's what kind of like I thought I would have liked it more limited because I, you know, everyone qualified. But it's interesting because you get to talk about it, and I get to I've worked with them. I shared a cigarette with Mr. Aykroyd. There we go. But yeah, he's, you know, insanely talented. But he gets into like he becomes a businessman. You know, there's a point where he becomes so wealthy that he's like he gets more joy. I know him that well, but that like running his House of Blues and playing music.
And
you know,
his
that's
Crystal Skull Vodka.
In his Crystal Skull Vodka. If you notice, there's a pattern because what's the first thing Aykroyd did when he became famous? He became a blues musician.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy. First thing he did when he became put out a record album.
Who had that?
Every stand-up comic really wants, or any comedian really wants to be a rock and roll singer.
Jamie Foxx. The vice versa. It's like comedians want to be musicians and musicians want to be comedians.
I once hung out with Jason Mraz. Let me put that name back up there. His buddy used to run this really cool open mic in the Valley, and he tried to do stand-up fucking comedy. And granted, the first time it was kind of... He was funny. The first time he was funny, but it's like we were all sitting there going, wait till you do your second time, motherfucker. And it, you know, and it's like, don't you understand? You get laid. Why do you want to do what we do? It's not, we do this because we can't, you know, and it's every musician I've ever dealt with. Oh man, I so want to do what you do. Why? We ask, and ask a girl who's dated both a successful musician or a successful stand-up comic, they will always say the same thing. I would rather date a musician because he's just as unfaithful as a comic or whatever, but at least he's not fucking mean and bitter because he got laid. And that is the 100% truth. Because I've had a lot of comics go before me with some chick, and of course they go, never again. Like, oh, that fucker fucked it up for me. But it's the truth. But you're right. They all want to do the same thing. And you know, as soon as they get famous, that's what a lot of these guys do who can sing. You know, Eddie Murphy, almost ruined his career.
Hey, mm-hmm. Party All the Time is an amazing work of art. Okay? You shut your mouth.
I'm trying to think. What was the serious song? I can't remember the serious song that you did, but it was like all crazy.
So we're at number four?
You're number four.
My number four is, I don't know if you guys are going to agree with this, but number four, Hank Azaria.
Okay.
He was a stand-up comedian.
And an improv cat.
And improv. And now he does, I really enjoy the character work he does, you know? Like, he has, the small parts he does have, he stands out.
Birdcage.
Oh, God, yes.
Agador.
Yes.
Oh, good. He can't wear the shoes.
Oh, good. Oh, my God.
And so I picked him. And even when he does, like, serious stuff, like, he was in Heat. He played Ashley Judd's lover. He was really well. He did really well with that character, and I'd like to see him do more dramatic stuff. Mm. He does it once in a while. He did a HBO show.
Wasn't he
Showtime show?
One of the the FBI agents in Gross Point Blank.
Yes.
He was really good in everything. But America's Sweethearts as the Spaniard.
Yes.
And even like in Along Came Polly, he was the French guy.
The French guy.
The scuba instructor.
Do you scuba?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't say that I saw Along Came Polly.
I did. He was a good part of the movie.
There was a lot of Alec Baldwin.
It seemed like everything on the side was funnier than the central story.
See, I still thought it was good. I mean, also, you know,
Philip Seymour Hoffman,
that whole subplot of the Breakfast Clubish movie that he might or may not have been in. I like
Crocodile Tears.
Was that what it's called? Yeah.
That's my pick. I think he does really good when he is in movies and he plays that supporting role. He kind of steals the scenes he's in.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to see him in more dramatic stuff. So he is my number four. Hank Azaria.
Okay.
That's a good one.
My number four is a person that when I found out she was a comedian and was a part of a comedy troupe, I was very surprised. And it's Emma Thompson.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, nice. Yeah, cool.
The Footlights.
Yeah, with Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry.
See, again, it's just I never saw her comedy, but she can be funny, and I love her acting.
Yeah, and she's just a terrific actress.
And a good writer, too.
Yeah, she is a very good writer. Just thinking of the movies that she's been in, Sense and Sensibility, she steals the scenes mm-hmm. in Love Actually,
mm-hmm.
When she finds out her husband is cheating on her and she goes and listens to Joni Mitchell in her room. Mm-hmm. Just terrific. I'm not the biggest fan of Howard's End, but the stuff that she's in her acting in Howard's End is just terrific. And, I love In the Name of the Father and the fact that she can stand with Daniel Day-Lewis in a scene and looks and is a very good actress against him.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty awesome in my book.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
And she was really good in the Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah. Oh, yes, she was.
Yeah, that's a great. That's one of my hidden gems, The Stranger Than Fiction.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I really enjoyed it. I'm like, I can't wait for this writer to do something else. And then
Mr. Megorium's Wonder Woman.
Oh, wow. Bummer. Oh, yeah. That's where I thought Maggie Gyllenhaal peaked was in Stranger Than Fiction. I mean, she really was just hot in that, too. But back to Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
She gets extra points because she gets topless in every movie she's in.
Who, Emma Thompson?
No. Emma Thompson.
Maggie.
Emma Thompson is in a movie with Michael Keaton. They're in Much Ado About Nothing together.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Do they make out? No.
I don't think so.
I don't think they even have a scene together.
Yeah. I so forgot about Michael Keaton in Much Ado About Nothing.
It's Dogberry.
That's right.
Very funny.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even in Shakespeare.
So that's your number four.
Number four.
Adam.
Okay, so for my number four, I'm going to go, you know what? She's not even really a comedian, but I'm just going to put it on here anyway. Madeline Kahn, because she's hilarious.
Oh, she's a comedian. She came from improv.
She did? Okay, well, there you go. She came from the theater. Because I think theater.
She came from the theater of improv, totally.
Yeah, Madeline Kahn is hilarious.
She's awesome.
I remember her last last episode of SNL that she hosted, I think shortly before she died, was... had me in stitches. I think she played a nun with Mary Catherine Gallagher or whatever, the, mm-hmm. the Molly Shannon character. Hilarious. But I mean, she's so much funny in Blazing Saddles, mm-hmm. Young Frankenstein, mm-hmm. just everything. She's,
yeah.
And she's like a chameleon. She does, in Blazing Saddles, she does that Marlena Dietrich mm. persona so well.
Mm-hmm.
And what History of the World when she's she's picking out yeah. her yes, partners for yes, the origin.
Yes, yes, no, yes, yes. Yeah, she's awesome. I love her.
Madeline Kahn.
Was she married to
James Kahn? No,
no, Genghis Kahn. What's his name? Young Frankenstein.
The Gene lead. Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
No,
was, no.
Who's he married?
Gilda Radner.
Gilda Radner. Yeah. Radner.
Oh. That's it. Okay. I was wavering back and forth yeah. between the two. So, I mean, technically they're a tie, but Gilda Radner will have to be an honorable mention because Madeline Kahn got her spot.
Mm. Yeah. Really good.
That's a good pick, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number four.
We already had my number four, Mr. Murphy.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Number four. So, down to your three.
My number three. I picked Tina Fey for my number three. oh, why?
I'm kidding.
Why?
Someone's picking TV stars.
I know. I have a problem.
Well, technically, she's done one movie, so...
She's done official. A couple
she's
movies.
In two movies. She was in Mean Girls.
Mean Girls. Okay.
She wrote Mean
Date
Girls.
Night.
That's right.
And Baby Mama.
Baby Mama.
Baby Mama. We can't forget that.
She was in Due Date.
And
Due Date? Or no.
Date, no, Date Night.
Date Night,
date
night. Yeah.
Due Date. I was like, that's... Yep.
You know, Tina Fey, Baby Mama, that's two really close to being on my list. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Yeah. 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 I like Amy Poehler, too. I'm a huge fan of Tina Fey. She's just right up my alley. I love her and 30 Rock, for sure. She's... my actress right there. I don't know. I love everything about her. She's quirky and awkward and funny, but cute, and
see,
I love it.
See, I see her more. I mean, she would even admit it. She's more of a writer than an actress.
Yeah.
I mean, that. I can understand why you might, but, you know, do we get bit with it? I just don't. I mean, she's not
you
a great actress.
Have,
yeah, she's
you
not,
can
a,
disagree.
She's
you
not
can,
a great. She's, totally a, she's a very limited. Yeah. I mean, she's a phenomenal fucking writer.
You were stifling yeah. yourself there.
She's a
yeah,
fun,
no,
you know,
disagree,
she's a phenomenal fucking writer, but she's a very limited actor. I mean, actress, and you know, she's gonna have more of an impact as a writer, which is huge. But yeah, I don't see her as great. That made that crossover. I mean, that's what I assumed.
Right,
the show's yeah. about.
That's
is,
what I think. The, it's,
right,
yeah.
that's
comedians
the you know.
Actors,
the, you,
that's
so that's
not.
Where you get like an Emma Thompson, and you know, and Madeline Kahn. This their legacy is incredible. But like you know, people like Tina
I don't,
Fey.
I don't see her getting nominated for an acting Oscar.
Well, yeah. I mean, other than for TV, which you know, the Emmy because of Funny Ladies, and there's so few. I mean, with that, you know, that aspect. I mean, it just, I don't know. I think she's very limited as an actress, but she's a phenomenal fucking writer.
I prefer Amy Poehler as an actress. I think she's really funny. I prefer her as an actress.
As an actress.
Better than Tina Fey.
You should watch the Second City documentary.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, yeah. She's great in that.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are we going? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your number
mm-hmm.
three?
Oh, three.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number three is I picked Bill Murray.
Damn it, that's my number two.
That's my number one.
That's my number two.
All right. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Well, hey, we just cut down on some time.
Yeah. So let's talk about him. Bill Murray. Come on, guys.
He's fucking Bill Murray.
Yeah, yeah.
What
awesome.
Kid growing up in the 80s didn't want to be Bill Murray or Pooter John Pond. Winger or Peter Venkman?
Yeah. In the words of the RZA, Bill fucking Murray.
Bill fucking Murray. Yeah. I love how they keep calling him Bill Murray in that copy and cigar. Yo, Bill Murray.
And how about Zombieland? Just that little cameo. Fucking awesome.
Just steals the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I enjoy everything he's in, especially the you know, the later years where he's mm-hmm. doing a lot of serious work. And you know, I have a lot of problems with Lost in Translation. A lot of problems with that movie.
But none of them are
his acting. He was perfect. Really kind of people talk about this year about how Ryan Gosling did a lot of acting without saying a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
That was done with that movie, I think, with Lost in Translation, where he there was a lot of things going on underneath, and he really didn't have a lot of dialogue. And I thought it was really good performance.
I think he had a lot more going. As much as I like Ryan Gosling's performance, and he did a lot without saying words, it wasn't anywhere close to everything that Bill Murray conveys in Lost in Translation.
No way. Yeah.
Or even like Broken Flowers.
Broken Flowers is such... it's a shame no one saw that. I mean, very few people saw that movie.
Yeah.
And it's also, so good.
It is. It really is. And like a lot of the stuff that I think he doesn't get credit for is the acting without words.
Yeah.
that he does, like, the, you know, the little subtle moment he has with Scarlett Johansson in Lost in Translation. The subtle moment he has at the end of Broken Flowers, when he, I think when he reads the note.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, he is one of the best. Really, definitely is.
The only reason he's not my number one is just because my number one had the benefit of dying before he did anything to really sully his sully his reputation. And
Garfield? Are you talking about Garfield for Bill Murray?
I never saw Garfield. It could be great. I don't know about Garfield too, though. I heard that one's pretty bad.
Yeah. I'm trying
Tale of Two Kitties.
I'm trying to think of the elephant movie he did.
Larger Than Life.
Larger Than Life.
I like that movie. I like Matthew McConaughey in it.
You he just love Matthew. You're gay for Matthew McConaughey.
A little bit.
Matthew McConaughey. And what, The Man Who Knew Too Little?
The Man Who Knew Too Little.
That's such a great little movie.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's a really cute movie.
Yeah, it's not that I think he did bad movies. I just think he's coming into this resurgence where he's building up to something really big.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the clips from Moonrise Kingdom, I'm so excited to see him in that.
But let's not forget Meatballs. I mean, if it wasn't for him, you take him out of a lot of movies, they would have been huge pieces of fucking shit.
Yeah. Well, and I would be, you know, that art commercial where the kids like tells the dog to run away and he throws the stick away and he has no appreciation for anything. I feel like if I hadn't had Bill Murray in my life, I would be a much colder, different person. And I wouldn't have the same sense of humor I have now.
I think a lot of people wouldn't have, you know. Yeah, he's definitely, he left a huge mark.
Yeah.
He left a huge mark.
Yeah.
Your performances are amazing when other movies have people quoting your performances in other movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a huge impact, you know. That's a huge back, you know. He's definitely one of the greats.
Even with his comedy, he was very subtle. He wasn't a very like over the top.
That could be debated. You watch Saturday Night Live, Star Wars.
No, I mean the movies.
Pooter Pond. Watch him in Meatballs. He could do both. He can go all the way. But like his later stuff, like, is pretty inspirational.
Yeah,
I'm pretty inspirational.
Everything he's done with Wes Anderson, I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, Rushmore, man. That was such a fucking awesome character.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, man. I wish he could be my dad who hated me.
So that is my number three, and that is your number, Kevin's your number?
Two.
Two, Adam?
My number two.
Number two, okay.
My number one.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
So we just stole your number one.
Yep.
Okay. You know, it's funny. The only reason why I didn't put him a lot, a couple of the people you put on your list, because I knew everyone would put that on their list.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I decided to go a little deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could argue with this or not. So we're at my number three.
Well, did we miss?
Well, my number three was Robin Williams.
Okay. So
and my number three is Steve Martin.
Oh, nice.
Honorable mention.
Yeah.
Nice.
Who was also in Sergeant Bilko.
Also in Sergeant Bilko. Yes.
You had scenes with
I had lots of scenes with him. As a matter of fact, after we did the table read of Sergeant Bilko, he went around the entire table and shook my hand first and said, "Nice to meet you. Looking forward to working with you."
That's
awesome.
And then he said after, "Well, I worked with you again. Haven't yet."
Well, no. He's got to make a couple more Pink Panther movies first.
See, that's what, you know, that's the thing that I got to tell you something. I really want to be that big that people are mad because I decided to get a payday on a kid's movie. I want to be that huge because
you want that.
Suddenly that you do, I mean, bile. you do like a couple Pink Panthers and they forget you fucking did Roxanne, The Jerk.
Man with Two Brains.
Man with Two Brains.
All of Me.
All of Me. The Lonely Guy. Which is unfucking believable. It's so, dude. That is one of the most. Him and Charles Grodin in that movie, just they break your fucking heart. And then suddenly all that shit becomes shit. You know, I see. This is one thing stand-ups have over actors and writers. They will always admit if someone is talented. They might not like a human being, but they will always go, "He's fucking funny. I hate his fucking ass. He's fucking funny." But actors and writers will suddenly, Robin Williams, he sucks. You can't say he sucks. He, you know, maybe he's done some, you know, mediocre work at times, but he's a great talent.
He went to Juilliard. He's Mork. He would do stand up when the microphone system would go out,
exactly.
And he would be able to project to the entire audience.
And also Steve Martin, he created a whole different. He was the first rock and roll fucking stand up. You know why he quit doing stand up? People were quoting his punchlines like a rock concert.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah,
you know, he was doing fucking stadiums like a rock star.
Well, that book, Born Standing Up,
is awesome.
It's so good. And I talking about how he distilled out all of his bits into mm-hmm. The Jerk. And mm-hmm. So he made a movie. That is his stand-up.
And The Jerk is so awesome. It's so beautifully... It's even though it's kind of a stupid... It's not the smartest... It's very smart, but yet it comes off very silly.
Yeah, well, it's... I think he is the American equivalent to Monty Python, where he can do the stupid humor really intelligently.
You know what he is? He's a West Coast Woody Allen, because he can write his stuff that he does on the New Yorker. His mm-hmm. essays mm-hmm. are fucking awesome.
Well, his plays
Picasso, are amazing. He's truly an artist. He's a playwright. He's a film writer. He was a live performer. He's an actor. I always wonder why he never directed. I wonder if he just doesn't like being captain of a ship. But I mean, he's a great producer too. He's produced some awesome stuff. I mean, there's a little movie called The Traitor that no one saw a few years ago with Don Cheadle. He wrote the story for that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know.
Wow.
You know, and I mean, he's another person who had a huge impact on the form, and on kind of changed how people saw films. The stuff he did with Carl Reiner, it was outstanding.
What, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid?
Yeah.
His room smelled like the number on the door.
one of his books is actually my favorite, my favorite thing I've ever read.
Pleasure of My Company?
Pleasure of My Company.
Oh, wow.
The best thing. For me, it's my favorite. I always keep rereading it because it's so fun. And I hope they don't make the movie, because that's one thing where I'm like, I'd love to make that movie.
Yeah, but I got to change. You got to get a paycheck to him quick.
Yeah.
I think they do like money. I've been to his house.
It helps.
He's got some expensive shit.
Yeah, he's all way into art too.
Yeah, I got to see the actual one of the Picasso's original sketch, not finished paintings, a sketch Picasso had drawn that he had purchased.
Wow,
it's pretty fucking cool.
That's awesome.
Wow. And then my friend, who's a pretty well known actor, went to his bathroom and took numbers off his Rolodex. Because he actually threw it away. Because if I call this person, that's really stocky, but I better throw it away.
It would have been fun if you guys would have crank called. or find out where they live
and order pizza. That's awesome. Oh, man.
So that is your, Steve Martin, your number three?
My number three.
Eric, your number three. Three.
My number three is Richard Pryor.
Damn you.
Nice.
That's my number one.
Oh, wow. I can see that. He was originally my first number. I was going to put him... He was actually my first number one. But then I wanted to go even further, because I was really... This topic, especially since he moved it from just stand-ups to more comics. Because mm-hmm. hands down, I mean, he's... You look at, Lady Sings the Blues, Stir Crazy, Silver Streak, mm-hmm. JoJo Dancer, which was... I got to tell you something. You know how good a project is when it first comes out, people pan it. Then, 5 years later, they look in retrospect and say, this was actually genius. Mm-hmm. Also, his TV, the Richard Pryor Show.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Oh,
Pryor
man.
Show.
It's a huge cutting edge. I mean, really crazy. What he did in Car Wash.
But just everything that he did before I even got to some of the other stuff, everything he did with Gene Wilder.
Oh, mm-hmm. he's amazing.
Yeah. All that stuff.
Is so good.
And then, because I had all of that when I was a kid, and mm-hmm. then discovering his stand-up as I got older.
Oh, amazing. Amazing stuff.
But then, Grease Lightning. I remember him and, Bo Bridges.
Uh-huh. Brewster's Million.
Brewster's Million. The toy was on all the time when I was a kid.
My wife really, really loves The Toy.
And then so I think it went Superman 3.
Wow.
Then all the stuff. When I was a kid, Superman 3 was amazing. Partly because Richard Pryor was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was all the Gene Wilder stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Richard Pryor, he just did so much great stuff. And then his dramatic stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Grease Lightning, Blue Collar.
Blue Collar's... I just saw that with him and Harvey Keitel.
Yafet Koto.
Yafet Koto. That's one of my favorite names to say, Yafet Koto. That last scene where they have the breakdown, where they freeze frame. Also, it's a really cool 70s... Mm-hmm. Golden Age kind of style film, where they broke a lot of rule, or they really bent the form, was pretty amazing. I'm a big fan of Lady Sings the Blues.
I haven't seen that one in such a long time.
Oh, dude, he breaks your fucking... He's a heroin addict. He definitely was an addict, And just, he's a great actor.
When I was looking back through his list, it's like, oh, fuck, he was in, one of his last movies was Lost Highway, the David Lynch movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see that, and I heard there's two good reasons.
I'm going to have to rewatch Lost Highway now to see.
Yeah, Richard Pryor's in it.
Wow.
I the only reason he's not on the list is Superman 3.
Really? Oh, that way.
He didn't write Superman 3.
Still, yeah. You know, he scarred me.
The payday they gave him for that. The only reason why they put him in that movie is because he was the number one box office star at the time.
Right. Wow. Well, did we talk about this before? I feel like on sequels about how it was originally supposed to be Brainiac, but like, let's just put Richard Pryor in there.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Was that the worst, you think, of the Superman? Or was Superman 4? I don't know.
I think that one was the worst because Superman 4 was the one with the sun.
Nuclear Man.
Nuclear Man, yeah. Yeah. And I didn't mind that one too much as I did.
You should rewatch that one.
Yeah, definitely rewatch that
See, I hated Superman Returns. That's the one I hated the most.
The new one?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
It looked like a high school...
You mean the stalker Superman?
Yeah.
Where he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing in there?
With his big codpiece, watching his son. Yeah. What I found, what made me hate that movie was it looked like a high school performance of a Superman movie. Because those guys were so... They were all 15 years too young to play their to have their perspective jobs in the reality. Mm-hmm. The only one that's remotely of age was Kevin Spacey.
And he was good.
He was great. Yeah. He's Kevin fucking Spacey. He's a stand-up comic. We forget about that.
That's right.
No, he did stand-up.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Phenomenal impressionist.
Yep.
Phenomenal impressionist. I still forgot. Yeah, he could be in that category, but you know, where does it end? But he definitely was a stand-up. Yeah. Yeah.
So Richard Pryor, number three.
Yeah, number three.
Jenny, you're number two. Take us there. What's your number two?
All right, my number two is Alan Arkin.
Whoa. There you go. There you go.
That's why we have you on here.
That's a good one. Alan Arkin, wow.
I actually didn't know that he did comedy until I watched that Second City thing. And then I was like, oh my God, of course. Like, that makes so much sense. I don't know. Everything... Yeah, I love Alan Arkin. My love for him started with Little Miss Sunshine because I hadn't seen very much of him before that. But then, of course,
Have you seen Simon?
No.
You have to see Simon. Next time I come over, I'll bring over Simon. It's written, I think, and directed by Marshall Brickman, who co-wrote a lot of Woody Allen's movies. And these scientists convince him that he's an alien. And it's just, it's hilarious.
That sounds awesome.
It's so funny. And Madeline Kahn's in it.
Mm. Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah.
So that is your number?
I have to say, number two. Wait Until Dark. He is really good in Wait Until Dark and really creepy.
Catch 22.
Catch 22.
Oh, yeah.
Mark is phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
The In-Laws.
Mm-hmm. The original one.
Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We could Poppy. Just go on and on. We could just have an Alan Arkin episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm a huge fan.
And his son,
Adam Arkin.
he's a great director.
Rowan Atkins?
Yeah, Rowan. He could be on the list, not.
So my number two, I went with Jim Carrey.
That's my number one.
All right.
He's another one that is like
honorable
that.
Mention for me.
He's another one that I feel like people forget all the good stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, and also all his later good stuff, like Spotless Mind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sunshine, Man on the Moon.
Man on the Moon.
Truman Show.
Fucking Philip Morris, most underrated movie of last year.
I have yet to see that one, but I really want to.
Oh, it's got the best belly laugh scene of all recent years.
Really good stuff.
Oh. Yeah, he's so good, and I just saw it on cable because people just didn't talk about the movie, and I was like, oh, it's got Ewan McGregor and Jim Carrey in it. I'm going to check it out. And it's great. And those two are just terrific in it.
It's really good. And it's really, really under the radar. He was my honorable mention. You know,
Hugh McGregor kept up with the comedy. He's amazing.
Hugh McGregor's fucking awesome. The Beginners. I mean, he's really underrated too. Yeah. I mean, not underrated, but he's kind of getting into his own now. But
he's really busy this year. He's got like a dozen movies coming out.
Well, I actually he's also got a lot of shit going. I did a lot of indies last year, like Ghost Rider, Bold Beginners, a bunch of other stuff. Yeah. He's always working. He's a busy Englishman. He's got the Star Wars coming out too, right?
Oh, yeah.
The 3D re-release.
Heard it was good.
Heard it was all right. I picked him for my number one. I mean, for my number two. You picked him for your number one.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, I mean, just alone for my Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Just very subtle, very quiet.
And then you go rewatch like Truman Show, and you just see him handling that character, and just the very end of that movie, just the look on his face when he's saying, "If I don't see mm-hmm. you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night,"
and just all the emotion behind that, but yet it's
so good.
I'll be very honest. When I saw that movie in the theater, I was a little underwhelmed, and then I watched it on the little screen because it's a TV show.
Yeah,
it works infinitely better on the TV screen, and then also get yourself really good and high and fucking watch it. You start finding shit like the bad extras in the background. It's really, I mean, you're right. It's a really, because I was also, that was when I saw the film, I was at the height of my fucking acting class bullshit. So I had all these ideas, you know, and like the subtle moment at the end where the director's Peter Weir, right?
Yeah.
Has him have his moment, but he's facing the wall. So it's like, that was a director's choice of like, I'm going to give this human being who's lived his entire life in front of everybody his own pit. But I mean, I'm getting chills thinking about just in his, like you said, that last moment, I get just goosebumps thinking.
Yeah.
It's great. And also the female lead in that, Natasha
McElroy.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. It's a, yeah, he's.
Laura Linney's in that too as well, right?
Laura Linney's great. And you know what? Once again, another guy because of, you know, he became the 20, you know, he, first of all, take him out of Ace Ventura. That would have been the biggest piece of shit. And The Mask. The Mask. You know, you take him out of those two movies, those would have been huge pieces of garbage. And he made those very watchable. And yeah, you're right. He's definitely, I mean, once again, he's another guy why I didn't put at the top because I knew everyone was going to, and I'm pissed because we would have had a very short game.
Yeah. The Mask would have been.
We can all go honorable mentions.
Yeah. The Mask would have been a TV movie if Jim Carrey wouldn't have been in it.
Oh, easily.
Or a Jamie Kennedy movie.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jamie. I love you. You know I love you. You know I love you, Jamie. And I wish I could have had that movie, and people hate me for it too. So.
Actually, The Truman Show, written by one of my, I actually like this writer/director. He disappointed me last year with In Time. Yeah, Andrew Nichol. Yeah. Right.
Did he do In Time?
Yeah, he didn't. He wrote and directed In Time, and he wrote Truman Show. And he wrote Gattaca as well. And really enjoy all his stuff. Even Lord of War, I enjoyed it.
Oh, that's the one with Leto and
Nicolas Cage, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great movie, actually. That's a really good movie.
And then he goes and makes In Time.
is it that bad?
It wasn't terrible.
It was two different movies that were kind of...
I heard it had like interesting ideas.
It had really cool ideas, but then it turned into like a commercial for like...
Swatch?
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And
I hate Amanda Seyfried though. So
she always looked like she was scared. Her. She was frightened.
Why?
Like,
I want to have. If I wasn't married, I want to do dirty things.
Well,
for her.
She's pretty.
And she was great in Big Love. I love her in Big Love. And also Mean Girls. She was a phenomenal Mean Girls.
She was really funny. Yeah. Nine Lives. Have you seen that? She's in one of the stories in that.
Red
Riding Hood.
I got through 15 minutes and went, I can't watch this anymore.
So bad.
So Jim Carrey, my number two. You're number one.
Yes.
And what's your number two?
Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. That's right.
Damn, we took all Kevin's.
I know. Jeez. This is the first time I think this has happened.
You're out.
No. My number two was also Bill Murray.
Okay, so Eric? Nice.
My number two is Jerry Lewis.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yes.
And I almost got in a fist fight with, not really, but I almost got in a huge argument with my brother-in-law who hates, for some reason, and this is what may, I just, I don't, you know, he Jerry Lewis is going to be fine without me defending him. But once again, it's one of these things that became, he became very hip for people to dislike him. Yeah. And I just saw a recent, you know, Nutty Professor, all the stuff he did with Martin, you know, with Dean Martin, My Name is Irma, all that stuff is phenomenal, phenomenal filmmaking. And then you look at everybody ripped him off. You hear Jim Carrey saying, I'm doing Jerry Lewis. And it was funny because my brother-in-law said something like, I go. Show me any script you wrote. Show me any psyche you've ripped him. He goes, how can I rip? He's horrible. And then he went. I go. I'll show you. You ripped him off. Because how can I rip him off? I haven't seen anything he's ever done. Then how can you know if he's horrible? You know what I'm saying? How can you know?
Exactly.
Because it became a cliche thing. Just because the French like something doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. They do like oral sex, and I'm a big recommendation for that. I gotta tell you, it's a great. He's a phenomenal filmmaker. He created the video village feedback.
Yep.
You know, he brought back the psyche. Scorsese praises him, Spielberg, and his movies still, stand the test of time. You know, I mean, they're great. I mean, you watch Nutty Professor. They show this amazing scene where he, in the documentary, and you also all these phenomenal comedians were you know, Jerry Seinfeld were singing his praises. We're talking about mm-hmm. how they changed his life. You know, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, no,
Dice Clay. He broke the fourth wall a lot in his films in a very innovative way, way ahead of his time. The humanity in some of his characters, and then his later work, like King of Comedy.
Oh,
man, he was so real. You know, that scene between him and well, I also give a lot of credit to Sandra Bernhardt in that, because that movie makes me not like her. I mean, like I had a way, like because yeah. she was so good as this disturbed stalker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That that movie frightened me as a child. Well, I was maybe 21, something like that. It frightened me.
Hudson Hawk did that for me with her.
Also, the scene when I saw her get naked and hop in bed with Madonna frightened me because she had a lot of that. Well, but yeah,
the scene in The Night Professor where he played it, how he was like, I mean, he was known for being the quirky, like, mm-hmm. kind of geeky guy,
and then he does, and then Buddy Love.
And then he's like, he was so smooth, and he's smoking mm-hmm. a cigarette.
Yeah,
and
when his hair is Buddy Love.
Yeah, it was such a big departure from what he was known as, and he played it, and no one like ever questioned it. Like, hey, I don't believe that. It's kind of hokey. No, he was that cool guy.
And you know what's so interesting is that, like, you got to watch this documentary. It was on Encore recently. I can't remember the name of it, but they showed like he's like six. He's like over 6 foot or around 6 foot. He's, I think, maybe even slightly taller than Dean Martin, if not his same height. But you automatically think of him as being smaller.
Well, because he was always slouching.
But he would yeah. do that. And they showed the famous scene where they actually reunited for the first time on his telethon.
Mm-hmm.
And he automatically went back into that, the character. It's really, it's pretty fucking amazing. It's just, it really is.
I think I might have seen, is this the documentary? Do they show some of his, like, not home movies, but some of his private, like, jokey movies that he made with his friends.
Maybe they. I didn't see that. I've only seen parts of it in sections, and I caught I definitely caught the second half of it, where they show the phenomenal scene where he in The Nutty Professor, where he goes to get chewed out by the professor, by the dean, and he sits down in this chair, and it's they don't cut, and he sinks down in the
mm-hmm.
chair,
mm-hmm.
and he just looks at him, and then he gets up and takes. Thin piece of paper, puts it on the chair, and then suddenly it fixes the yeah. chair, and there's no cuts, you know, for that. And it's like to think of that bit, and to know that it would play. I mean, he's one of the greats.
I feel really bad for leaving him off this list because I was so obsessed with him when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and I thought of him as I was walking out the door, but I didn't write it down.
Mm-hmm.
My parents had to buy me the Colgate Comedy Hour, Martin and Lewis Colgate Comedy Hour VHS
awesome.
When
those
I was
are
a kid.
Awesome.
That's because I loved Jerry Lewis. I would watch anytime at Jerry Lewis. I have tapes and tapes of stuff that I recorded of him mm-hmm. off of Turner Classic Movies.
Mm.
I watched The Bellhop all the time.
Mm.
You're Never Too Young is one of my favorites where he has to pretend to be a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. He goes to the all-girls school.
Uh-huh.
I love Jerry Lewis, and I can't believe I didn't put him on the list.
It's funny, on the Bellhop script, I heard basically... One of the scene headings is, you know, interior room, bellhop enters. That's it. That's all they say. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, 5 minutes later when it's filmed, it's just, you know, he just destroys the place. And that, I mean, literally the bellhop enters because they knew Jerry was playing the part. That's all they had on the fucking script. Yeah, that's pretty. That's, you know, he's a good one. That's the worst thing about being a comic is people. Once you make something not quite up to where, you know, you once were, everyone begins to really fucking hate you. The only person who's kind of slipped that is, I would say, it's Bill Murray. And Bill Murray, he is because he made so much money off of Ghostbusters, and he doesn't do like a lot of press. He doesn't promote a lot of his movies. Mm-hmm. I think he did really smart because no one really, you know, everyone forgets Larger Than Life, Garfield, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. these things he obviously yeah. did for the money. They've kind of forgotten it where. You know, you look at Steve Martin, he does a couple Pink Panthers, but then he does, you know, like the stuff he does for HBO or The Spanish Prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people kind of, you know, because he goes on the limelight and stuff. You know, that's the thing. That's the sex bite. And people don't realize there's a point in comedy where you're just not going to be quite as funny as you used to freaking be. It just kind of, especially if you're a leading man. Like Alan Arkin's kind of slipped into that, like, that kind of crusty sidekick kind of thing. But, yeah. you know, and he was never, I mean, he was big, but he was never, you know, Steve Martin big
yeah.
or
yeah.
Jim mm-hmm. Carrey big or
he was Dean, he was character actor big.
Character mm-hmm. actor yeah. big. He yeah. was always a character actor big, which was smart by him, but he was never, he never took the heat. Yeah. He very really carried a movie fully on his own like these guys had the balls to do. And you just can't always be, and it, you know, nah, that's why I get bummed when you make, you know, it just, their legacy is somehow tarnished because they made some movies for kids, you know? Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Mm. It's your number two?
I talked too much. Okay. No,
Jerry Lewis, no. And I forgot about him, and you reminded me.
That was my number two.
That was number two. Jenny, recap number one.
Oh, recap. Okay. My number five was Louis C.K. My number four was Dan Aykroyd. Three was Tina Fey. Two, Alan Arkin. And my number one was Bill Murray.
Bill effing Murray. All right. So my recap and my number one. Number five, Robin Williams. Number four, Hank Azaria. Number three, Bill Murray. Number two, Jim Carrey. Number one, Woody Allen.
That's why I didn't put him on my
list.
I knew someone was going to put him. That's exact. Because when we were sitting here talking about, like, I was like, oh, I should have put Woody Allen. No, someone's going to. I know he's going to put Woody Allen.
Well, yeah. I didn't think someone. I knew Ricardo was going to have Woody Allen.
Yeah.
I just, you know, if you haven't had the chance to pick up, there's a bunch of stuff of his, a bunch of his stand up on CD now, which is, there's a lot of stand up you listen to that's kind of, that gets dated. It's still funny, but you're like, You gotta put yourself in that mindset where you listen to Woody Allen stand up and it works.
Whenever you hear a comic say, "I want to do to her what President Bush has been doing to America," mm-hmm. less it's I want to do to her what Eisenhower's been. It's derivative fucking Woody Allen. And I get so fucking mad when a comic without putting a smile on his face has the balls to do a derivative. It's such a, you're just replacing the president.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and to not know your, you know, not to wink to at least the comics that I'm hacking Woody Allen. It's a, you know, at least I just get frustrated because it came out of Annie Hall.
Yeah.
You know, he's a fucking amazing stand up. His stuff still somewhat holds up. Well, because it's all about him being, you know, being neurotic
A lot of stand-up is about him trying to get laid.
That's what I love about it. I love Woody Allen, you know, trying to get laid and being successful or unsuccessful, you know, and very smart. And you know, you're right. Great film. One of the great – I mean, I rip him off all the time. When I write scripts, trust me. I was watching a movie I cut – you know, one of my first movie I spent all my money like an idiot on to make and on 35. And I got done and go, oh, man, I must have watched Crimes and Misdemeanors recently. Or I had sisters. And I was like, whew, Woody Allen definitely impacted my life.
Yeah. And if you get a chance, listen to the CDs. I mean, I guess you could buy them on MP3 now. So
well, and then didn't he just released all of his writings, I think, where he's reading them without feathers and getting even.
Yep.
And,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Side effects. I think it's him reading them.
I hate to say, those are a few of the only books I've ever read. Cover to cover.
He did just just recently, I think.
Yeah.
I was listening to NPR or something, and they were showing a clip of it. It was actually really, really funny and cool.
Yeah, I love Woody Allen. He's a definite honorable mention. But again, I did the thing that Brian hates, and I didn't put him on my list because I knew you were going to.
Yeah.
And I still can't believe I forgot Jerry Lewis.
Shame on you. Go sit in the corner.
But you know what? But when you look at like you look at Woody Allen, I mean, not only is he's a great, he was a playwright,
mm-hmm.
a great screenwriter, a good actor in his, you know, what he does best, but also just a very innovative filmmaker, you know, like Bananas, Sleepers, What's Up Tiger Lily, you know, is it called What's Up Tiger Lily?
Yeah.
You know, where he really fucked around with the form.
Yeah.
You know, everything you want to know about sex and we're afraid. I mean, he was a maverick.
I mean, I love Manhattan when he just did black and white.
Yeah.
Well, how he got there, or it was like just seeing how someone else flubbed.
Yeah.
Bringing his script to life. He's like, well, fuck it. I'm going to do it myself and I'm going to do it right.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there's that story that originally was Charles Grodin that was hired to write the screen adaptation of Played Against Sam. And he read it and he was like, I am not good enough to act this. because I guess Charles grown, you know, definitely maybe gave him more depth than what he was used to being feeling comfortable. You know what the greatest tragedy is? Is he did not write Midnight in Paris 40 years ago, 30 years ago, so he could have, I mean, although Owen Wilson was amazing in it, but all I can think of is how cool it would have been to see Woody Allen and Diane Keaton and Mia Farrow.
Well, but the sad thing is, though, he probably did. He just shelved it because he does that all the time. Oh. Yeah, he shelves stuff all the time. He's like, am I ready to make that yet?
Oh.
Because, like, Manhattan Murder Mystery, I feel like this is the third time I've said this. Manhattan Murder Mystery was originally part of Annie Hall, but he took it out.
What?
Yeah.
It was part of Annie Hall?
Yeah. It was like, part of the story, and he took it out, and he's like, I'm going to make it something else. And then he made Manhattan Murder Mystery, what, like, 10, 15 years later?
Yeah, it was a long time. Yeah, wow. What's great about that, he does, like, that little bit of old-school Woody Allen with these shuffling, you know, he's doing the cards and stuff. You know, he really is an amazing filmmaker, because like you look at his first, how he progressively went from being kind of very wacky.
Yeah, he went from that slapsticky to to the more intellectual comedy, neurotic.
It's pretty, you know. And then like we forget about Sweet Lowdown.
Yeah.
Even though the movies that he's not in, you know, other than like, well, he is actually one of the interviewers in Sweet Lowdown.
But I mean, a lot of Match the times point? When he's not in them, the people who play his character.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's really nobody who I've seen that's really effed it up. I thought Kenneth Branagh did it like a dead on.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw Celebrity. Yeah, I never saw Celebrity.
That's he's doing Woody Allen like dead on.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Because I think Owen Wilson, I thought, Owen Wilson and John Cusack, I thought, did kind of the hippest.
Yeah, their version of
their
it.
Version of
they,
it.
They took it the farthest away from him.
And it still worked. And like this is not, like I all say, Matchpoint was the pure dramatic version of Crimes and Misdemeanors.
Yeah.
It was that subplot in, you know, definitely. Once again, the only reason why I left it off the list is because I thought two or three people were going to have it on their list. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Well, and then of course he brings me to a big person who I was just like, should I put him on? I mean, he's in the back of my mind the whole time.
All the entire
Groucho
time.
Groucho Marx.
Yeah. Fuck, man. Yeah. The Marx brothers in and of themselves. Mm-hmm. All three of them.
So
that's my list. Number 5-1. Kevin, your recap.
Recap. I had Patton Oswalt, Emma Thompson, Robin Williams, Bill Murray, and my number one was Jim Carrey.
Mm.
Awesome. Nice. Okay, so my number 5 was Eddie Murphy. And then number 4 was Madeline Kahn. Number 3 was Steve Martin. Number 2 was Bill Murray. And my number 1 was Richard Pryor.
Nice. Eric, give us a recap and your number 1.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to be cool here. All right. Michael Keaton was my number 5. Number 4 was Eddie Murphy. Number 3 was Richard Pryor. Number 2 was Jerry Lewis. Number 1, the king of modern, the king of film comedy, Charlie Chaplin.
Nice.
Started off as a vaudevillian and then brought it in. Once again, if there was no Charlie Chaplin, there would probably be no Jerry Lewis.
Yep.
There's no Jerry Lewis, there'd be no Jim Carrey. It goes on. And I mean, him and Buster Keaton, I mean, I just decided to pick one. But I keep on thinking about The Kid. I cry. That, just thinking of that, him trying to, you know, when he jumping over the houses. And it's just, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful. That's why I was upset at The Artist. Because you would release The Artist, and look, God bless him. Like I said, the first 30 to 40 minutes of that film is pretty amazing. But as a whole, if you would have released that movie in 1920, it would have been okay.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been okay. But it's not going to hold up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a novelty. But the Kid, Gold Rush, will always stand the test of time, especially The Kid. And you know, he's another guy who also experimented a lot with filmmaking in and of itself. And also as an actor, he experimented with it, not only as a filmmaker, writer. I mean, yeah, he's definitely, I think he's got to be number one. I mean, as much as I'd like, you know, he's definitely, you know, he definitely number one, you know, he definitely started the trend, I think.
I think when it comes to Charlie Chaplin, I think you break down into people, and I'm the Buster Keaton route. I love Charlie Chaplin
or Harold Lloyd. I guess you go there.
I think it always narrows down to Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin, and I'm 100% Buster Keaton. I don't dislike Charlie Chaplin.
I know I see pictures of him all over your place, or is that Michelle's?
That's
pictures?
Michelle's pictures. Yeah,
classy woman.
But I'm a Buster Keaton guy.
Gotcha. All right. All right.
I dig it.
I tend to lean towards Buster Keaton, but then I just think the kid is just one of my favorite Chaplins. And you just think at the end of the movie, he's been searching for the kid, and they come together, and you just the look on Chaplin's face is he just sells it so perfectly well.
The desperation.
Yeah.
It's really fucking amazing. You know, it's really amazing. Yeah.
Good list. Good list there. All right. So let's just do our quick little honorable mentions.
Our quick honorable mentions?
Yeah.
Mine were actually all named. Woody Allen, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, Steve Martin, and I added Christopher Guest in there.
Oh, ooh, nice. Yes, nice.
So my honorable mentions were Chris Farley, Zach Galifianakis, John Candy, Billy Crystal, nice. Eddie Izzard, Peter Sellers, and Richard Pryor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Honorable mentions, Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy, Steve Coogan.
Oh, nice. Yes. Mm-hmm.
John Candy. And I threw Will Ferrell on there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so definitely some people who have already been mentioned. And then Mel Brooks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thousand-Year-Old Man. Yeah. let's see, Gilder Radner, I already said. And then Gene Wilder. Just everything he did with Richard Pryor, but so much more. And then I like Chevy Chase. He was, I mean, him and Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he's doing the
And also like all the solo stuff, like, you know, the stuff he did with Goldie Hawn.
Fletch and Foul Play. I watch Foul Play with my mom all the time.
Foul Play seems like old times. He was a great leading man. You know, he was really good.
And then John Cleese.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Eddie Izzard, Zach Galifianakis, Patton Oswalt, Janine Garofalo. I like Sarah Silverman.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we didn't have a lot of ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, okay, so sticking with just acting, okay, Stephen Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Dudley Moore and Peter Cook.
Nice.
Good.
Nice.
Good honorable mention list.
I would have put more down, but I thought we were only supposed to have 10. I will go Dennis Leary, Will Ferrell, Jim Carrey, Monique from Precious. That was one of the best performances of all fucking time. Chris Tucker. And my number one honorable mention, Pat motherfucking Morita.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, matter of fact, the reason why he almost did not get the job in Karate Kid was because the producer of the film said, wait a second, he's like a hack stand-up comic. And real shticky, you know, but in Karate Kid, that is one of the most amazing performances of a lifetime.
I didn't know he did comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Happy days.
Arnold.
So that is the list. It was fun having you on.
Yeah.
It was.
Thanks for coming out.
Come back.
I would love to come back.
Yeah. Oh, you will. And a little bit of business. Check out our website. You know, post comments. Actually, if you want to comment on anything, do it on iTunes. It helps our ratings and stuff. So. Check us out on Facebook.com/thelistfilmpodcast. Or you can find us on Twitter. Send us some of your suggestions for future lists, or, you know, send us your list for this topic or whatever other topic we've done so far. So at the film podcast. Yes. At the film podcast on Twitter. And you can find me on Twitter at Ricardo, Ultreras.
And our website?
And our website is www.thelistfilmpodcast.com.
He should write these things down. I'm at Janae. That's Jehneigh.
And Eric, where can we find you? No, he has a Twitter.
Yeah, I don't use it very often.
But if people want to hit you up, like, hey, I heard you on here.
You go to ericedwards.com.
Yeah.
You can get to me on Facebook. I think it's Eric Edwards, a comic. I think I'm Eric Edwards, Eric Edwards 1 on Twitter.
Okay.
I think so. I got to get to that soon.
We'll have the link on our website. So
you can find me at @AnnAdamScott_AdamScott.
Yeah. And you can find me at KZuberbeer. That's ZUBERBIER.
Again, you can find all these links and many more at www.thelistfilmpodcast.com. You'll find all the damn links there, so check them out. And so Eric, do you usually tweet when you're going to be doing stand up?
I tweet or I Facebook.
Okay, so if you want to find out where Eric will be doing stand up, follow him on Twitter or Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And look for what about your website? Do you post it there too?
Always post the stuff.
So at www.ericedwards.com.
And I think we're going to be doing a performance at Mixtape probably in March.
Okay. Let's play Eric wrote and stars in, and I directed.
Mm-hmm. And Michelle.
That's in North Hollywood, California. Mm-hmm. If you're in the area, follow us on Twitter, and you'll find out when that's going to go up. And that is it for this week for the list. Hopefully you enjoyed listening. And until next time, have a good week.